Huge announcement, insiders. Inside the 18 Goalkeeper Podcast is moving exclusively to the Union GK app beginning in April. Go to www.theuniongk.com to learn more and join the Union GK community on Apple or Google Play stores, and you'll never miss an episode. Thanks for making the Union possible, and on with the show. Welcome to Inside the 18. I'm Michael Magid, live from Hollywood, California. With me, hopefully got her sandbags ready for another
episode. I was just going to say that.
Another atmospheric river this weekend in Woodland Hills, California. Also known apparently as the Mariana's Trench in the Pacific Ocean.
I'm telling you, and I just threw some of my sandbags away, and I'm like, damn it. But I still have enough to save the garage, so I got to put them down today.
Oh, my gosh. Well, somebody that knows a little bit about rain is somebody over in Texas. We're keeping it Texas in the last couple weeks, guys. We got Jalen Cunningham, JC, over at the University of Houston. JC, what's up? Thanks for coming on
the
show.
How you doing? Thank you. I wish I could show you how beautiful it is outside. Fortunately, I don't have any windows, but it's sunny and 75 in March right now, which is, you know, best, you know, weather here. Not quite as hot yet. So I really like to brag about Texas in the non-summer months. So yeah. I will take all that.
I used to coach for Tony at for Soccer Plus at Rice University in the middle of the summer, and it was the most brutal experience. Like, it was like every drill we had to give the kids a water break. Like, it was brutal.
Yeah. It's funny because I'm from the Midwest. And so, you know, I'm training outside in the spring, which is great. And then, you know, I brag about the weather all the time. And, you know, people who are native to Texas are like, come talk to me in June. And I'm like, whatever you mean, whatever. And then it's 100 degrees at 7 o'clock in the morning, and you're like, okay.
And 100% humidity.
Yeah, and you can't breathe. And so, but outside of June, I'm bragging all the time. So
that's amazing. I mean, I think one of the things about that, though, is that, like, just the kids are used to it. So it's not like they're like, you're taking a kid from Illinois and throwing them into the Texas experience. Like, I was actually talking to a friend of mine about this the other day. It's like, you know, in the summertime, like, you can go inside. And you're like, my God, it's freezing in here. Like, what is going? What is it, like 40 degrees in here? And it's like 78, just because you've been outside and it's been like 100 degrees.
Yeah.
So your body's just not used to it.
We wear our parkas in the office in the summer because it's so cold in here. But it's such a relief. I'm outside. And when you're not native from Texas, you stick out like a sore thumb, you know? So I'm working on it.
You know, well, speaking of working on it, obviously, you know, we all have relationships with different goalkeeper coaches around the world. And shout out to Jill Lloyd and the Keeper Institute for connecting us. Jill, what's your connection with TKI?
So I met her at the convention a couple years ago, and I had never met her, you know, personally. Obviously, a big fan of her work. And then it's funny because I was presenting with my former coach, Jana Rayfield. And Jill was presenting right after, and she needed help in her session. And so she was like, hey, can you come join? I had a little moment of panic because I thought that I was going to have to train. And I said yes. I was like, am I going to have to do 1v1s right now? But she just needed, you know, help serving in her session. And then we connected afterwards. And I think, like, she is one of the greatest resources, one of the greatest mentors, I think. You know, we don't necessarily talk every single day, but when you do talk with her, it's just really good information, and she's really genuine. So I've really enjoyed the conversations that we've had. She's been a great mentor, but yeah, a little moment of panic when she goes, can you help me? But she's been terrific for me. So,
I mean, obviously she's been terrific for us as well too. I mean, I literally learn every time, you know, I talk to her, Maria, or anybody else at TKI, and just, you know, everything they've got going there, we can't say more than enough about it. Saskia, I want to say something, you know, really quickly before we kind of get into today's topic, which I think, Jalen, this is an awesome topic. I think it's going to be so useful for regardless of what level you're coaching at. I think maximizing our time in our sessions is something I struggle with, and I'm sure we all struggle with it. But speaking of time efficiency, guys, Saskia, we are being a little more efficient starting next week, starting in April, are we not?
We are. So we are going to hear Inside the 18, you're going to have to, you'll get a 10 minute nugget, if I'm correct, Mike, intro. And then we will be on the Union app. So make sure you have the Union app so you can watch, listen, get all your information. Get on it.
As Saskia had mentioned last week, you know, the thing is that we're trying to incentivize you all to check it out, start engaging on there, sharing, working with the mentors. We got some really cool stuff planned. We even might even have a live event this summer. So you really got to get on there, guys. Go to uniongk.com. If you want to find out more information, go to your Apple store, your Google Play store, and find the Union GK community. We have a 30-day free trial. There's literally no risk. And honestly, I know a lot of you guys get a lot of benefit out of this show. We want to keep doing this show, but I'll be completely honest with you. It takes up about 2/3 of my week to do this show. That's the type of effort we put into this show. As Jalen knows, you know, she watches the show. It's not just slapped together. It takes time to come up with a quality topic, get quality guests, put together a rundown, edit clips, and all the post-production. So I know a lot of you guys just think it magically shows up when you open up YouTube or Facebook or whatever, but that's not true. So we're very excited that we're moving over to the Union. And I think you guys who aren't on there yet are going to be pleasantly surprised on what you're getting out of there as well. All right, we're done with the ad read. Now let's move back. let's move back to Jalen here. So Jalen, tell us a little bit about your role over at University of Houston before we kind of get into the topic.
Yeah, so obviously working at the collegiate level, I'm the goalkeeper coach here at Houston, but also I'm also responsible for doing set plays, working with the backs. At the college level, we wear quite a few hats. So, you know, recruiting, also camp director, also liaison with the university, also local tech IT, in case anyone has any issues with Huddle. I'm the local member here. But yeah, you know, wear a lot of hats, but obviously the biggest and my favorite is goalkeeper coach.
You know, you sound like me with the Union and Inside the 18. Like,
you get it.
Yeah. Oh, trust me, I get it.
I just show up. Yeah. It's true. I magically appear. Yeah.
She's just like our audience who's going to have to transfer over to the Union. She just magically appears.
I just magically appear.
Saskia, do you have the app?
I hope so. Thank
you. That's amazing. Yeah. Stan Anderson, if you're listening right now, you finally have to open the app. You're gonna have to do that. No, but honestly, like I will be like literally on the air with you right now, and I'm also like writing at the same time. I'm like handling the Instagram. It's crazy. So you know about multitasking. And why is it so important for young goalkeeper coaches to learn how to multitask and take on different responsibilities at a university or at a club or at a pro team?
Yeah, I think it's really important because it's not going anywhere. You know, I know that different legislation has passed. You know, now you're able to have more coaches on your staff. But, you know, the reality is it's not going anywhere. Recruiting is not going anywhere. Camp is not going anywhere. You know, liaison with the university is not going anywhere. So this is part of the job, I think. And, you know, and the most important thing is understanding that this is part of your role. So, like, if I just wanted to do goalkeeping, this is not the place to be because this is like such a small piece of what I do on a daily basis. So I think that you have to be able to be organized. You have to be able to communicate with the different pieces of the university. I just think it's not soccer here. It's such a bigger piece at the collegiate level. And so your understanding of that is really important to be successful here at this level.
I think it's also the evolution of the position as well. like, you know, gone are the days where the goalkeepers are off. Well, hopefully, slowly gone are the days where you're off in the corner and you're by yourself. Yeah. And you're training the goalkeepers and then you come back in. Like, you are now more involved in coaching the defense, doing set plays, you know, sometimes running sessions themselves. And then off the field, you're part of a team and you have to help run camps and you have to help be organized. The tech side, okay, I couldn't do that one, but I'll defer, right? Like, but it's true. And it's the evolution of the position itself as well. Like, you are now, you know, we see goalkeeper now as you're legitimately that 11th person on the field, and you're involved in the field players. You're understanding how to start the attack, how to bypass lines, you're not just that little cone back there, which you never were, but it's not that anymore.
Yeah. And I think too, like, you're part of the staff. And so I'm a leg of our staff. And so I think that we're not efficient if, you know, a forward can only go to, you know, one of our assistants or one of the backs. You know, you can't come to me because I'm the goalkeeper coach. I think that we really work on, you know, I'm an assistant. And so I think that part of that is, how are you interacting with our players? And if I'm only with the goalkeepers, then I'm not maximizing our staff. And so that's also a piece of it. It's just your interaction on a daily basis.
I used to love that at UCLA. I used to love when Mia Fischel would come over and like talk to me and look at things from the goalkeeper perspective, understanding how to be a more efficient forward, what the goalkeeper's looking at when she's coming at them and everything. It's all encompassing, and you have to be able to do that as a coach.
Right.
And I want to bring you up.
Hope you're healing well.
Shout out to Mia. And then honestly, you know, for a lot of you out there, you know, I mean, obviously there's, you know, Midge, Mia, there's a lot of, you know, young players that, you know, have really, really promising careers ahead of them. And we want them to be at their full strength to be able to represent this country and their pro clubs. Yeah. So it's not about rushing back. There's going to be plenty of time.
Take your time. For sure. Everybody.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Jalen, before we kind of get into the topic, I do want to bring up the fact of, like, you know, as a young coach, you know, working and running camps and everything in the collegiate environment. I think personally, that's extremely important, especially for a goalkeeper coach, because, you know, as we know, if we want to go off and start our own academies or start our own programs, to understand what it takes to set up a session and an academy and get a client base and all of that sort of stuff is really valuable, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that what I love about camps is that it's all different ages. It's all different levels. And so, you know, could be working with kindergartners. I could be working with ninth graders. So the different levels of the camps, I think, is really important. And so understanding that I can't just take a college session and go run that with kindergartners. Like, it's not, it ain't gonna work, you know? And so how are we, you know, and so part of it is understanding what you're doing. So part of camp is like, they want to have a good time. And so they don't want me sitting and talking, and they're not going to get anything out of setting up a super complex drill. And so I think that that's a really big learning piece, is based on the group that you have, what are you doing? What's the best thing to do? And some of it is, you know, part of it is you got to entertain them, you know, and so part of it is you got to play your head and catch it. They love that game. So play it. You know what I mean? You want to have a good experience. So you want them to enjoy the game. I think is depending on the level, you know, what are you teaching them? But it's really just about knowing your audience and knowing what your role is on that day. It's really important.
Yeah, I mean, I think you just brought up a really good point. Like, Saskia, I mean, I remember, like, running camps. I mean, you have to take into consideration not just, like, you know, the sessions themselves, but you have to take into consideration, like, you know, making sure that they're hydrated at the right times and making sure there's proper shade and making sure that kid, you know, doesn't, like, grab the tail of that squirrel, like, you know, those types
stop
of things.
Stop licking other people, you know, stop
there's
biting.
There's so many things that go into it, like... Like off the field, not allowed, like bathrooms, like stuff like that. Like for UCLA, it was like a 3-hour video course on like how to deal with kids and how to handle like what you're allowed to do, what you're not allowed to do, like like, and you think I'm kidding about the bathrooms, like they have to be escorted to the bathrooms, but you can't go in the bathroom if there's a problem. Like, there's so many things, and it's also time management. It's huge. And so, like, getting the kids to the fields, checking them in, like getting them with their coaches, then bringing them back in, then making sure all the fields are set up and how you're flowing. It's a lot. It's not just like, hey, here's some balls, go run around.
Like, that lasts for like 2 seconds, you know. Like, hey, like, here's a bag of balls, go have fun. Like,
oh, and then they kick them everywhere and they don't go get them. So
yeah,
like,
getting them in a line takes 45 minutes. You know, start right here. Don't start right here. Please start right here.
And then if their best friend isn't in their group, can I go?
Vincent is on my soccer team, and he's over there. He's our striker. I know. He's 12. You're in the fifth grade.
And then the parents come up to you. He wants to be with Vincent, and it's just, oh my gosh.
Oh, I got the one, and I mean, we will get to this topic at some point, guys. But this is just too much fun. Honestly, this
camps
is just
are
so
hilarious.
Much fun.
And then you see those camps that do like huge camps, and there's
sending prayers.
There's like 10,000 kids on the field. Like, you're like, I don't even know what to do right now.
Yeah.
I had
for
one,
30
I had one
weeks.
Par- for 30, yeah, exactly.
I had one parent say once, and then the kid was not at the level of the other of the other kids, and it's like, well, they're in the same carpool, so they need to be in the same group, so they can take picked up at the exact same time. Meanwhile, that kid can't tie their shoes, and the other kids are like playing like the other kids are playing like, you know, on like MLS Next. So it's like it's so difficult. But so and so happens to be in the same carpool. Oh man, grabbing their
it's really funny because like the what the parents expect out of some of the camps versus what's actually happening. Like, I got some parents, like our summer camp is it's for like a few hours, and it's just a time for like them to have fun. It's like, you know, come here, you know, spend time, have some lunch, you know, be with your friends. It's more like a social thing. Yeah, we're gonna do soccer things, but you know, we're gonna play capture the flag.
Stay camp,
you know,
like, it's day camp.
Yeah,
you're not in school. The parents have to go to work. So
100%. And so like, it's funny because like parents will email and be like, Jesse loves goalkeeping. Like, I think you should work with him. And I'm like, Jesse was sitting on the bleachers, like throwing the cones in the air. And it'll be like, Jesse loved this camp. Like, he learned so much. Jesse was like licking the water jug for an hour. You know what I mean? Like,
and then you have the ones that hang out with the trainer. That's my the trainer's tent. Like, you always know they're the same kids at the trainer tent.
I don't think Jesse wants to be a goalkeeper, by the way. I think Jesse wants to play with the cones.
Jesse wants to be a trainer. He wants he's helping fill the ice bucket.
The kids just hang out under the tarp, like on, like, yeah.
Same
well,
kids.
Because like, within the first 5 minutes.
Same kids every drill. I swear on you. Every day, every drill. You're like, where's little Pam? She's over at the training tent. We haven't even started yet today. She's already in the training tent.
This is brilliant. This is brilliant.
I feel like there are kids that honestly, I swear we'll get to this topic, guys. But I feel like there honestly are kids that just literally want to get taped. Like, they just want to be taped.
And they want to play with it.
Well, first of all, they don't want to be there. So they're like, how do I get out of this situation? I'm stuck here for 5 hours.
Is it lunch? No, you just got dropped off, by the way. Your mom is still in the parking lot.
All right, this is a great segue into the topic, because now we're going to be talking about maximizing that goalkeeper session time here, which is something that you have to do at camps. That's for sure. You have to maximize that time so kids aren't just twiddling their thumbs. First off, Jay, before we kind of do that and show some of the new content you've gotten, thank you for sending all of this stuff. Yeah. What in your words, what do you mean by maximizing that time?
Yeah, so for me, it's about doing the best with the resources that you have. So the best, meaning not the most, but how are we doing this at the highest level that we can and with the resources that you have? So for me, resources are time, bodies. So how many servers do I have? What's the space that I have? And so understanding within your environment, you know, what, how can I maximize? How can I do the most and the best with what I have? And so for me, it's, you know, maybe I have, and this is a spring session, we only have two goalkeepers here, but, you know, we do have a manager. So how can I get him involved? Or I know that, you know, I'm not going to have this amount of space when the team starts training. So how can I bring them out early to get more space? But you can't say, you know, I can't do this because I don't have this, right? So you've got to figure out ways to do the best with what you have.
See, I love what you just said right there, because Susk, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've had young coaches go to me and go, I saw blah, blah, blah session, but I don't have 17 dummies to do this. So how do I get the most out of my goalkeepers, you know, in this 45 minutes without these 17 dummies, you know? And it's really all about understanding the why of why this goalkeeper coach, first off, was running this session. And second of all, what is it that your goalkeepers need and how can you maximize that for them during that time?
No, absolutely. And, you know, I think, again, you have to know, number one, ahead of time, like what you're walking into, and don't take a session that you've seen in a sense, say, okay, this is what I want to do today. And you get to the field and it's just not, you don't have the setup for it. You don't have, you know, you're like, you set something up in your mind with 15 dummies. And you're like, well, first of all, you don't have dummies. Second of all, you only have the 18 today, or you only have this much space today. So how are you going to A, maximize that space and tweak what you want to do and utilize? Fine. You don't have dummy. You have an extra goalkeeper. So now you have a live dummy, right? To give pressure or to, and everything. So figure out your ways to take a session that you have conceptually in your head and make it work for the space, the gear, and everything else that you have.
See, I love what you just said right there, you know, Susk, because, you know, JC, like, do you think that one of the reasons why so many, you know, young goalkeeper coaches struggle with maximizing their time is because they're so rigid? They're like, I planned this session and there are supposed to be 17 cones here and four goalkeepers here and the ball's supposed to go here. And now my coach said so-and-so is late. And how do I do this with blah, blah, blah?
Yeah, absolutely. I think as well as, hey, I watched this pro session and I want to run that in my environment. But by the way, you don't have the pro equipment. You don't have the pro setup. And so this is what you have to do. I'm not saying that, you know, maybe the topics of the session are great, but you know, what are the resources that you're looking at, you know? And so I think another thing that's really frustrating is like, hey, you have 30 minutes and 30 minutes turns into 45 minutes or 30 minutes is really 20 minutes. But I understand that that's frustrating, but it's also part of the position that we're in. And so what can I do to increase the information that I have? I might go to my coach and say, you know, can you give me a 5-minute warning when you're going again? Or if you're going to do this exercise, that's a really big key to the way that we want to play, you know, can you tell me, you know, hey, 20-minute warning? Then I know, like, I think there's part of it is I understand the frustration for sure, but also like you have to navigate it in some way and you have control over the way that you navigate it. And so part of it is setting your expectations properly. And then also is communicating. You're part of a staff. And so that's, I think, a really big key.
Yeah. And I think it's a great point because that happens so much where, you know, okay, you go out with your staff, you know that, you know, they're working on something and you've got 30 minutes, you've got 45 minutes. Well, their session might not be going as smoothly as they want it to. And that 45 or that 30 minutes might turn into an hour. And so don't set up the session based on, I've got 30 minutes, this is what I'm doing in 30 minutes. Like, one, it might get cut short, but two, if it goes long, what are you doing next? Like have your next steps in place that you might not get to, but if that happens, you're ready to do it as well.
Oh my gosh. That's such a great point right there, JC. I can't tell you how many times as a young coach, I like all of a sudden I'm like, all right, That's it. That's all they wrote.
I'm done. Your team.
And the coach is like, hey, yeah, we're not have another 35 minutes.
I've totally done that. I totally done that in club where like you have several teams doing different things and you have their goalkeepers and then, okay, you're supposed to send the goalkeepers and I've sent the goalkeepers off and I'm picking up cones and here come the goalkeepers. And they're like, Coach Kelly said that they're not ready for us.
Yeah. One of my favorites is like, you have no idea sometimes like where their session is at. And so, you know, I may look over sometimes and like, they're talking like you're having a conversation. Oh yeah. So I definitely have a lot more time because like, this is stopped and you're having a moment or like, you know, maybe, you know, in the office, it's like, you know, this is only going to go for two rounds and then we're going to move on. But then you look over and, you know, it's like a full teaching moment and you look over again and they're still having that moment. So like, you know, right then and there, like, hey, this is the situation. Yeah. So I think that is really challenging, especially when you're young, to say, okay, you know, this is the deal. And I think part of it is like the way you process it. A lot of times you get frustrated and it's fair, but like you have to navigate it in order to get the best.
Yeah. I mean, and like how, like you have those moments where, okay, you've said, can you see me?
Yep,
we can see you. Okay. Yep, you're back.
Yeah.
So you send your keepers to the session, you look up and they're just standing there. They're not incorporated. So what do you do then? Like I go over and I pull them back and I'll be like, okay, you guys said you needed the keepers. Obviously you don't right now. Like, I'm not just going to let these guys stand here. Let's come back over and like keep going with what we were doing. You know, so you have to be adaptable. But you have to set your sessions up so that you're prepared for anything.
Absolutely.
So let's go through some of these pictures right here, you know, JC, that you sent here. And obviously, you know, a lot of these, not everybody's got access to all this different equipment. You know, obviously the collegiate level, it's very different than at a youth club or whatever. But how did you maximize? And first off, break down what's the why behind these sessions, first off, before we kind of get into it.
Yeah, so one of the things that we have to work on with our group and is how we are approaching defending the space and the angle that we take. So once an attacker has broken that line, how are we approaching the ball? And one of the challenges we have is that we're not on the right angle. And so one of the things that we've got to work is getting our shape, right? And then being able to close down the right amount of space. And so here, one of the things that I really enjoy is bringing our manager to add an extra layer. So instead of him just starting on the cone and then dribbling at her, we're able to have a pass. So now for her, one of the things she has to react to is the movement. So I'm taking her away. She's got to come back and then she's got to go out and get to the angle. So a little bit more dynamic here. Right. And I'm really trying to push her with that. And then what you'll see is our other goalkeeper really has to work on coming from the middle. So she's, instead of getting the pass to go to the wide area, she's going to come to the middle. So I'm going to change it up. So they're still doing the same exercise, but just in a different way. So that for me is about maximizing their individual development with the time that I have with them. So they don't need to do the same thing. So if she's getting a volley, if she needs to work on something else, she can get a different service within it. And so for me, that's really important is the individual development within the session. And so how are we communicating with them beforehand so that they know these are the areas that we're focusing on and these are the takeaways. So there's some pieces in here where I would like for you to go with the right foot, you know, approaching in a different way. But for me right now, the most important thing is the path. And so that's what I'm focusing on. And then when they do make a good save, rewarding that. But that's the focus of this intro exercise.
You see, and I love that. I know it's like usually Mike's line, so sorry.
No, like, no. See, you know, Suska's impressed when she steps in.
Well, no, yeah. If I'm quiet over here, I'm like, no, just kidding. no, but I love the point that even though the drill setup's the same, the process for each keeper is different. And so she, like, your one keeper needs to work on one thing and a certain angle, the other keeper. So you can tweak it within the same setup and the same drill and maximize what you need to work on for each keeper. You don't have to change the entire drill, the entire setup around for each specific. You can change it within the flow of that setup and that drill to say, okay, she needs to work more on dropping deep, coming forward up the middle. She needs to work on her angles when the pass is on. And so you've tweaked it a little bit in the same setup. And so that's maximizing, in my opinion, the space you have to work in, and you're getting two drills out of one setup.
Yeah. And I think honestly, Jalen, I think honestly, that's something that a lot of young coaches, including myself, I even still to this day still struggle with, is that, you know, I'll plan my sessions a lot of the times, like around one specific goalkeeper. And yeah. Completely forgetting about the fact that I have these other goalkeepers there.
Or you will split your session around one action. Like, yeah. You know, so you're like, okay, we are working on the pass here and the angle on the pass and coming forward, when your other keeper might kind of have a good handle on that. Although, yes, practice it. But, okay, how do I tweak this so that she's actually working on what she needs to work on as well?
Yeah. I think one of the challenges for me as a coach is in terms of my communication in the session, there's some things in here I would change. There's some points that I can make, right? But narrowing my focus on, okay, these are the moments that I'm going to choose to make coaching points. And so if I tell them that this is the topic of the session and now I'm harping on your past, it doesn't work, right? So for me, that's a big area of focus, is aligning the communication with the topic of the session and finding those moments, you know, to either bring it up or to let it go, or that way they're getting as many reps as they can, but that it's all aligning. I think that can be a challenge when you're working on kind of a little bit different things. So just making sure that my communication aligns with what they're doing.
So I want to see this right here. So now you're, this activity, it looks like you only have one goalkeeper active.
Yeah. So it was a little windy. It was a little windy today. So the drone is a little bit moved back. But so in the beginning, when it first started, it's a smaller change of direction. So the person getting the pass is pulling it to one side. Now the pass is coming from wider. So I extended it out. And so the pass, now you've got to change direction a little bit longer of a distance. And so a lot of times with one of my goalkeepers, when the distance is longer, she's tends to try and come forward and take the ground rather than just adjusting to the angle first. And so what I wanted to do with the progression was build on, you know, the little adjustment that she made, and now it's a little bit bigger, but it's very similar to what she just did rather than going right into it. And then the other one, she was getting it in the middle. So she is now starting. Then her progression is where the other one started. So getting the half pass, but you're still going down the middle. So just a little bit of a progression here.
I'm just impressed. Are you shooting from a drone?
Yes.
I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm like, the tech side, sorry if I just totally got off course here.
Yeah. No,
what a great angle. I'm like, is that a drone? Or is that Tommy in the stands?
I would tell you, it is intoxicating. Like, I got, I can only bring them out early because then I get full access to the drone. So once you get this angle, you can never go back to GoPro ever again.
It's a great angle. I was like, that can't be one of those poles. It's like the highest pole ever.
If anybody's
just listening to this, you have to watch this because I'm like,
this
is like the greatest angle ever to shoot practice at.
I mean, honestly, you know what? You know what it looks like? It looks like when someone gives you their session design and they brought it to life, like some magic wand just brought the session design to life, because it's literally that sheet of paper.
I know this is getting off topic, but I think, you know, so many people struggle to shoot their sessions. And if you shot this from a lower angle, like the fact that they can see their movement,
it's terrific.
It's amazing. Okay, go on. Sorry. I was sitting here like, that's a drone.
But that actually that is on topic, Sus, because it talks
is
about
it just like, on hover? I'm like,
yeah, you just you have it up and then it just holds.
I cannot fly my drone. I crash it all over the backyard and everything like that. So I just put it away in the garage. I'm like, I don't know why anybody gave me this thing.
Our manager, so that's our student manager right there. His name is Seth. And so we had two drones and so he learned the drone. And then all of a sudden we're training one day and we just hear, and then we're like, and then we just see like it raining drone pieces.
He oh goes, no!
He was looking over here, and the drone is over here. Because I lost it, and we're like,
no, it's great. Okay. Yeah, but it's also like, I know it is on topic in the sense it's maximizing the time you have and the tools that you have to get the most out of your session. And right now, just even to be able to take your goalkeepers back and watch film from this angle, like, is incredible to me. It's huge. Yeah. It's like being in a stadium with that thing on the wire that's in the center of the stadium. Like, you know, like, it's
absolutely. Yeah, and it's really cool. I think it's like, there's so many pieces of goalkeeping, like, where are you getting information from? So if I'm doing flight of balls, one of the things that you can see is like, where did this start, right? Like, where did the service come from? What was the path of the ball? You can see that. And I think it's really important for them to get a holistic picture. If I'm asking them, you know, thought-provoking questions, asking them to read the game, part of it is you got to be able to see the game. And granted, like, I'm very fortunate of where I am that, you know, this is a tool that I have access to. But I think that this is a way to elevate their learning environment. And, you know, obviously for us, like, really grateful. But this is a tool that we have. So I think really important that we use it.
Yeah. And just even like positioning your depth off the line, everything, like you can actually show it here. Like, okay, you should have come here. You should have gotten deeper here. And you can actually tangibly look at this when you sit down and say, okay, I get it. You know?
Yes.
So really cool.
And guys, if you want to get one of these drones, it's just promo code Jalen for 50. No. What if I just became an ad read for drones?
Get a drone sponsorship right now. Plug it, please. Please. So
I mean, I feel like we should send this to a drone company, and like they're like, yes, we will absolutely endorse Jalen for this.
Yeah. Like, once I get off this call, I'm going to Twitter right away, and I'm going to tweet them. That's the way you do things. So
that's great.
Can assistant coaches get NIL deals too?
I hope so. Marcus,
Oh my gosh. Well, you know, I do want to say this, you know, in regards to that, like, if you are filming at a poor angle, you're not maximizing your time, because now you're going to have to go through all that stuff, re-edit stuff so that you can make it usable for the goalkeepers in the film sessions. If you plan ahead of time, which kind of goes into the, you know, in regards to the question about off-field preparation, you're going to be able to maximize that time in the film session too. So instead of, hold on, let me go through here, let me go through here.
Hold on, we have to move the camera. Like, you know, like that's time consuming. Let me check the camera. Let me see if we're getting the right angle. Let me do this. Now it's just like, you got a drone. I'm like, I feel like we're going to go out to a club game and you're like five drones flying over the club game. Like, parents, no drones.
Don't film your kids. Please drop your drones.
Could
your
imagine? Drone is up.
Please drop it.
Yeah, this weekend, we can go out to the fields. It's going to be unreal. I'm going to show up at a session tomorrow and the parents going to have a drone because he listens to the show. So I guarantee you that's going to happen. Let's go to this other picture right here. So what do we got going on here?
Yeah, so this is the continuation of that. So what they're doing here, so there's two players on the outside. What we're working on, we're going to incorporate a little bit of in possession work. So we're having them switch the point of attack and then penetrate centrally. And then they have to deal with the turnover. So let's say you play your six, and then she turns the ball over, you're higher up the field because we're building, right? So now how are you closing down the angle? How are you approaching the situation? Higher in your box. And so so for us, one of the things, another way to maximize your session is the focus of the session is not in possession work, but we can always train. How are we training little things of in possession? So here with my voice, I'm emphasizing them switching the point fast. So we've moved our nine, get it back, and now play a penetrating pass. as best you can. And then from there, making it as game-like as you can, because we played a penetrating pass, you're high up the field. Oh, crap, we turned the ball over. What are you doing now in that space? And so one of the things that's really important for me is exploration. And so for them figuring out, okay, when I'm building, what is a place where I can, where is a comfortable distance for me to be to deal with this? And so part of this session is that I brought them out early so that we can try that. So one of the questions I'm going to ask is, where do you feel spatially? Do you feel like you're too high? Do you feel like you're too low? If he takes a big touch, can you take advantage of that? And so one of the ways to do that is by doing it at realistic spots on the field. So I brought them out so that we can work at the top of the box. We can work a realistic pass to your six. And so that's another, for me, that's a way to maximize this is a realistic session for them in a realistic space. And so once again, I brought out some of our scout guys, which we're really fortunate to have. And then they can be, these guys are actually pretty fast. So mimicking Trinity Byers, you know, so you have realistic components of the session. And then it's also allowing me time to teach. So if we need to talk about this, we can. I'm not rushed with, oh, you know, they're transitioning and we got to go. So this is incorporating a lot of different things, but it's still a continuation of what we just worked on. And so how is it translating for them? And so that's something that I really enjoy about bringing them out early is sessions like these.
By the way, Susk, it's you're like on a lovely spring day. I hear the birds chirping.
You do. I have the window.
Or you put the drone out there, and they're like hanging.
No, I have the window open and in the office, so I'm like, oh, it's so nice out before the monsoon hits. It's the quiet before the storm. I love this session. I absolutely love this, and I love the angle back to the drone. I like, but because this is so what. Goalkeepers have to deal on any level. Like we saw it so much this past weekend in the NWSL goalkeepers, like with that build out pass, getting stripped, being too far off their line. There were a couple chips that could have happened that didn't happen. I'm like, shoot, like, you know, but the importance here is what you said is where are you comfortable? You know, if this ball is turned over and you're mimicking like a real game situation, are you in no man's land? Are you comfortable to get depth and then come forward? Are you still reading the game? Like so much goes into this and it seems so simple when you look at the drill. You're like, oh, you know, it's fast pass, then a through ball. And like, you know, but the thought process that goes in on this is so in depth in a sense as a goalkeeper, like, God, I'm too far off my line. They didn't take a long touch and I came forward and I'm in no man's land. And now the ball's tight on their foot and they can chip me. Or I am too high from the get-go. I didn't get depth on the turnover. Or I did and I did it great. Like, you know, yeah. So there's just so much that goes into it. And it seems so simplistic. But again, to be able to come out early and utilize this space on the field, because that's important. That's what we're talking about. Like, yeah. How are you planning your session that you can say, hey, you know what? We got to come out early because this is something we need to work on. And we're not going to get it done if we're out there with the team out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And getting them into a place where, I'm asking them questions that I want genuine answers to.
Yeah.
And so did you, like, so the part of the way that this session is, the way that this exercise will progress is that now I can play it either centrally or I can play it wide. So you're mimicking their sevens and their 11s getting on the back line. And then their nine is also an option. So now you've got to decide, am I coming to the wide player? Am I dealing with central? Am I dealing with central player? But one of the things that I really loved about this is that, I don't know if you noticed this, but she had him cut off one of the six options. And so for me, that's their way of elevating the session. And then from there, like, you can also ask questions of, you know, for them, like, how did you see him, right? When you turn the ball over, did you see this? What parts of this did you feel like you got exposed in? What are places where you feel really comfortable in? And so part of it is, like, them also taking ownership of their session. And so was him cutting off a six too much? Right. Mm-hmm. So now you're processing a lot of things at what time, or like, these are conversations that we're having. And so that for me is another really big piece about bringing them early. Like, if I'm rushed with 25 minutes, like, maybe I can't ask them questions. And then the next session, we're not building on this. So if we talk about something, and this is a key thing that is being brought up by them, I know that the next time we go out, this is what I'm going to start with. And right. so, but if you're not asking them these questions in the time or sometimes coming out, sometimes following up with it is a little bit too late. I want to know how you felt in the moment. And I want to be able to replicate that consistently the next time that we do this. So a lot of things I really enjoy about this time.
Do you do you have the field players on a clock in a sense, like on, all right, you have this many touches, like, or you have this much time to get in? Because what I see a lot, what you see is field players in this, in some drills like this are like, all right, I'm going to take 20 touches. I'm going to dribble a goalkeeper, do a, like, do a rainbow over them and take my time. And it's like, it's not realistic. And then the goalkeeper's just getting pissed because they're like, you know, they've been megged three times on the same play. And you're like, okay, you know, you wouldn't have 20 touches in the box. You don't have.
Yeah, it's not game like.
Yeah, it's not game like. So everybody has to be held to that game like standard.
Yeah. One of the things that is really challenging about bringing outside players in is that they don't know how – if you bring your nines and you bring your fours in, they don't know how to train a goalkeeper. Like, they are out there to make a highlight tape. And that can be really frustrating, and that's one of, like – like this is not the exercise, you know? So part of what I really it's really important to me is like in the moment. So I'll talk to them before and go, hey, this is what I want. So like the kid in the black here on the left, he likes to dribble. And so I'm like, dribble twice and then shoot.
Right.
I want to get a shot off here. I need, so you've got to do this. And then my line with them though is pretty thin. So if they don't do it a couple times, then I will jump in there and then I'll have him do something that he can play the pass in, right? Because for me, the service is more important than the pass. And so this is a place where I'll take over. But I think in the initial process, I want a lot. Like, give me all the different things. And then as we get later on, maybe into the different, sessions, and now we're turning it up. So now he's going to have two touches or he's going to keep dribbling. That's a progression of the session. But there are I keep them like for 90 and you're done.
I used to love that. Like, I'd be like, okay, sunshine, you just took 20 touches and LB look like an idiot, but and then LB's pissed off and I'm like, do you would have had 20 touch, like five touches on that service and on that through ball, and I'm just like, let it go, and then I'll be like,
That's how I feel when they have goalkeepers jump into like the shooting exercises, and I'm like, this is a cutback ball, and this is inside the six, and you just took four touches. That's right. We don't need to be in here.
I'm like you're abusing. First of all, you're mentally abusing the keepers, and I'm just like, what, guys? Come on, because. And I get on field players, and this is where we talked about earlier, like as you're not just a goalkeeper coach, you're not back there to shut up. You know, you have and focus on your goalkeepers. You have every power to step up and say, all right, everybody stop. You know, like you're not getting anything out of that because you're as a field player, this isn't realistic for you either. Right. Minimal touches. You only have a couple seconds to make the decision because you wouldn't get four touches in a game.
Right.
So.
You know, I think in regards to like, and like, I just want to talk about like maximizing like warmups, right? Because like, obviously, you know, JC, a lot of people out there, you know, especially parents who are listening, you know, or young players that are listening right now, you know, they go into environments where there's not a goalkeeper coach available. You know, they're at 8 a.m. tournament, you know, in the middle of June type of thing. And someone goes, hey, Rachel, can you warm up Molly? And
you turn around,
they're just
tossing the ball back and forth. They're kind
not
of
maximizing this time at all.
I can't chase
the ball more.
I cannot go early to ECNL games because I'm like looking away.
The throws are so bad. The throws are so bad.
I used to always make sure that because when I was with the Bulls, I used to make sure that all my goalkeepers, we had sessions of this is your warm-up. Because especially if you're in the club environment, you might be the director of goalkeeping. You can't go to everybody's game and warm everybody up. Yeah. So my goalkeepers would always know, you know, this is your warm-up. And so when you get there, you know, Ainsley, who Mike, you're going to be working with you. Like, they knew they'd have their, they'd have, I'm like, everybody, here's your cones. Like, you know, because you only have a little bit of space, you know, probably there's a team over here, a team over here, find this little space. Let's maximize what we can, you know, your routine. And, you know, coaches out there, especially for a club, you got to make sure you go through those sessions with your players as well. Maximize your space and your time. It's part of what we're talking about, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just about it's just about a communication. Like even at the collegiate level, like if there's no communication on what the expectations are prior to you showing up, JC, then, you know, now you're starting cold. And now you got to spend the first 15 minutes getting them from, you know, movement prep into activation and everything. They don't need you for that. They can do that on their own.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's, I think,
depending on what the session is as well.
That's true.
Yeah. That could be part of the, you know, I can take control of that. They, at this point, working with me, both of these guys have been with me for a little while, so they know the expectation. I think part of a really important aspect is if I say that, you know, training is starting at 9, like you cannot roll up here at 8:58 and then like not have your cleats on. So I think it's, and the beauty of where we are. So at the college level, you know, you are here for the amount of time that you're here. You have the resources that you have, like you're going into the training room before you come out to practice. You have activation with our training conditioning coach before. So that's part of the things that I really enjoy, but also like that takes something off my plate. And so working and then communicating with the others. So working with our strength coach and saying, hey, this is a warm-up that they need to have. It's something that's important, but it's all about communication for sure.
Yeah, that was a big thing. Like you can't send your goalkeepers to your strength and conditioning coach and let them do the and not have that communication where they're doing everything in the gym or everything that the field players are doing. Like you need to have that conversation. Like this, you know, I need them to do more goalkeeper specific stuff, as you know, and you know, incorporate that into their training. And I love that time as well, where like I would come out, I want them to do their activation and some of their warm-up with the team. Number one, because you're with your teammates. So you're not isolated. Oh, the goalkeeper's over here doing that. And if, you know, if the session like warrants it and I have the time, like, no, be with your teammates, go through the activation with them and then come to me. And then we'll progress from there. And sometimes that you don't have the time to do that. And you have to kind of work in their warm-up with your session because you only have 30 minutes. But, but yeah, I love those times too, but you have to communicate like 100%.
You know, Suski, you brought up a really good point right there, you know, Jalen, and obviously, you know, we, a lot of times as coaches, and it's getting better, you know, obviously there's a lot of people that are thinking, you know, outside the box now and thinking less X's and O's, but just the behaviors that you want from your goalkeepers and that socialization with the team is so important, especially if you're trying to develop a camaraderie and a union, no pun intended, you know, on the team. If they're, especially at the youth level, if they don't feel like they're part of that team, they're never going to be in sync with those players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's little stuff like that. Like, you know, and even some of the warm-up drills that the field players do with the ball, like, you know, like they should be doing that as well. The touches on the ball, like everything, like that, like then come to me. But it's also, again, and you know how I feel about that, Mike, it's also getting comfortable with your field players. Like they're comfortable, like you're playing, you know, the hell's the name of the game? Like, what's wrong with me? You know, you want them to feel comfortable passing you the ball in these warm-up drills and tight drills. So that when it transitions into a game, it's like, oh no, here, once you touch.
And like Rondo's.
Rondo's, thank you. What is wrong with me? That's only one cup of coffee. Yes, I'm a huge proponent that goalkeepers should be in Rondo's. 100%. Because not only is it great for their touch on the ball and footwork, but it also builds a comfortability with your field players and your players that they know, hey, you know, Mike's great at Rondo's. Like hit him the ball.
Yeah, you'll see me at warm-ups. Yeah. That is not the case. Kalen Sheridan, I am not. I do want to bring this up up though, because you know, there is something that's really important here in regards to maximization of your session time too, JC, is that if you're at a youth club, right? Let's say that you're working with foundational ages, you know, and you know that those 10, 15 minutes, they're working on outfield skills with the rest of the team right there. That allows you to plan out everything else so that when they come to you, since you have a minimal amount of time in the youth environment, you know, you can get the most out of it as opposed to having to now work on this, now work on this. I can't tell you how many times I show up, I'm setting up cones, and there's just kids there, you know, staring at me. Well, coach told me today's goalkeeper training, so I'm
and
here.
And you look over and the team's doing rondos.
You could be over there. Like, you could be benefiting from this. Well, coach said I'm supposed to do goalkeeper training today. And the kids are so literal. It's like, now you have to, so you have to talk to the coach and be like, hey man, don't send them until they've gotten benefit from this session with you too.
And I go back to this one. Oh, you know, coach coming over. I'll go back to this one forever. Cause, oh, you know, Tammy's having trouble hitting long balls and stuff. I'm like, so is your entire team. I'm like, so don't come to me about the fact that I got 30 minutes of these kids to teach them how to catch a ball. And you're telling me right now that Tammy can't hit a 40-yard ball when Joey on the outside winger can't send a service in either. So maybe incorporate it into your training. I had this argument with a coach, and put Tammy in the training.
Yeah, 100%. Or I think this is something that you're foreshadowing some of my topics later on. Appreciate it. But something that's really important to me is the goalkeeper's integration in the session. So part of that, I think, is about, obviously, you know, I work with them every day. I know where they're at. And, you know, I've cultivated a certain environment. But part of their development is being able to be in sessions. And so if this is something that they need to work on, like, yeah, they need to work on, you know, their passing and receiving, you know, and solving pressure. And so, and a rondo is not going to be perfect. So just because the goalkeepers are in the session doesn't mean that the development is gone. It's about performance. It's always about development. So if you're at the youth level and one of the things that you need to work on is crosses, right? It doesn't help to put them in that environment and not allow them to develop. Like, yeah, so if you're working on, hey, you know, our goalkeeper is calling away, but she's moving, then put her in the session and then reward the decision. Hey, good job. You made a decision. Okay, maybe it's not the right one, but you made one. I'm okay with it being wrong. I want the decision. Like, I think that there's so many times when they join the session, it's like, you must perform here. Like, you can't develop here. That's back in the corner.
Right.
I think that, like, from every level, because it happens not only at the youth level, it happens at the collegiate level. So part of it is, like, we have to be willing to develop them outside of just, you know, my session that's should not be in the corner, but that's in the corner. And you need to know that. You need to know that, hey, if she's not going to cross this, then don't tell me, hey, what are you working on? Say, can she get into these exercises? And let's work together.
And let her fail. Like, let her fail. But and everybody needs to work on them. So it's how you work within the team on the crosses. And when she's in the sessions, like, the team getting used to her calling away and coming or not coming and making those decisions. And what do they do? What do they do if you call keeper and you don't come? Right.
Yes.
So that's your bad decision. That's your wrong decision. But now how does the team react to it?
Yeah.
Right. So, and that's a training.
This goes back to a sports site.
But that's training. That's going to happen in a game. Right. It's going to happen in a game. And if you don't put her into the session and allow that to happen and say, okay, how do we fix this? How do we react as a team to this and everything like that? You can't. And I totally agree with you. When a goalkeeper gets brought into a session, so many coaches out there saying, you're supposed to perform now. You're not allowed to make mistakes here.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to grow here. You know, and it goes as low as, hey, you know, Jan can't bypass lines. So always pass the ball to Kim and she'll bypass the lines for you. Yeah. Well, no, allow her to practice it and keep failing, you know, until she gets it and understands.
this is a conversation, and it's a sports psych realm right there, you know, and I think it's really important for a lot of young coaches out there to hear, and also for young parents out there to hear, or parents in general, not just young parents, but like, is that like, there needs to be better communication with the goalkeeper and the outfield coach on what the expectations are when they're integrated into the team. Because I think a lot of the problems are, is that they believe that I was at practice with my goalkeeper coach, and now it's time I'm taking a test. And now yeah. I'm in class. Now I have to pass or fail.
Yeah, that's a great one.
The test. Especially if you're a 2 or a 3, because now you're on pins and needles thinking every single decision I make could determine whether I stick on the team, whether I get any playing time, yada, yada, yada. Meanwhile, the outfield players are like, oh, ball went underneath my foot. Whoops.
Oh, yeah. I kicked this out of bounds. Oh, well. I'll pass it to the other team.
Yeah.
But hey, goalkeeper, save it, pass it.
You better catch it. You better box it.
You're messing up my drill. Right?
Yeah. You're messing up my drill, like you're a cone, like you're an accessory for the
activity. You're messing up my drill because you didn't, you know, you didn't pass it to the right person. You didn't make, well, neither did Paul. He keeps passing it to the other team, or he keeps, shooting shots for throw-ins. Like,
So. Yes. 100%. I think too, like, this is something you're paying so much money these days. Like, the amount of times that we talk to youth players and they have a goalkeeper coach with the club, they have a side goalkeeper coach that they go to, and you're paying on. But then I'm like, hey, you know, how are you developing in your sessions? Well, I miss practice this day, and then I'm never in this, or my head coach does not know where I'm at in my development. Like, what, this is what you're paying for. Like, if I'm paying a lot of money, I want to get my money's worth. And if my goalkeeping director does not have a relationship with my coach,
yes,
or hey, like, you're not watching my games, or you can't help me develop, you know, you have 10 goalkeepers in your club, and I'm different than her, than her, than her, than her. So how are you individually developing me in here? And if you, I think there's so much where like they're not getting their needs met, but it's just like, you're paying so much and you're doing so much, but Are you getting film? Are you getting these moments? Are you getting in training and working on these things with your team? And if you're not, why not? Oh, my, you know, like, I only see my goalkeeper coach on Monday. And then, you know, so we don't really do that, or like, it's so crazy. And quite frankly, it's really sad, I think. Mm-hmm. And that's why when goalkeepers get to the collegiate level, you know, they've never had to distribute, and they never had to solve pressure, because their distribution is touch and long ball at the beginning of their goalkeeper training, but you've never like solved a 2-front versus a 3-front. And then we get to college and we're like, why don't you have these skills?
I mean, look, I don't want to go off on a rant here and be on my soapbox or anything like that. But you know, I've had this conversation consistently with people, and it's honestly, I mean, like, I'm again not trying to make this an infomercial, but it's one of the reasons why, like, I enjoy being a mentor on the platform.
No, I've that is like a big part of the mentor sessions that I've done with like parents talking to me about this and the lack of incorporation of their goalkeeper in field training, in with their team, and everything like that. And yeah, exact example, Jalen, like, they have private goalkeeper coaching on the side. They have like a club goalkeeper coach, maybe they're with for 30 minutes, but the field player coach is not setting up training or incorporating them. And so how does it transition? I've had that conversation a lot.
But also, like, I've been doing a lot of mentor sessions with people lately on the platform, where I've been basically sharing with them what it really takes to play in college, because I can't tell you how many people, Jalen, come to me and they just want the same of what they're getting at their club. And I'm like, well, why are you coming to me? You should be getting that at if you're not getting that at your club, and now you need me to do that, then we don't have time to do this and do this and do this and do this. And so much of getting ready to play in college is not about training in isolation. It's about learning the game. It's about sports performance. It's about your nutrition and lifestyle. It's like your mental well-being. It's all these types of areas that are going to make you a collegiate player, you know, but so many parents out there and young players, because they don't know any better, think, oh, if I just go through more cones, I'm going to play in college. It doesn't work that way. No, they do.
Yeah.
But they do though.
100%. 100%. 100%. I can't tell you how many highlights I get in my inbox of, hey, watch my goalkeeper session. And it's like, what goalkeeping did you do here? It's like, oh, this is my warm up, but it's like cone. That's not the game, you know. Did you have to make any decisions here? No, I tapped the red cone and I caught it, and then I tapped the blue cone and then I caught it. I'm gonna give you a hint. You know, Trinity Bodders is not the blue cone, by the way. Don't even stop going. They a little bit harder to deal with than the cone. So it's just all about education. It's so much about education. And I think a part of it is too, like, we as college coaches need to make ourselves available to, you know, these club guys and these club coaches and say, you know, this is the expectation when they get here, and use us as a resource and make ourselves available. So for me, that's a really big focus with the communication with the club directors and the club coaches, is making them understand this is what they're going to be asked to do here at this level.
Yeah, and you're not developing shot stoppers, and that's it. You know, Mary's a great shot stopper. Great. Does she even understand, and can she read the game? You know, does she understand why her positioning, how to move her defense, how to move her chess pieces, like what's coming at her, what systems are coming at her, when to play like bypass lines, when to play short, when this, she understand it, because, you know, it's not just, hey, here's your goalkeeper, she's a great shot stopper. Doesn't understand soccer at all.
Yeah.
at all.
Yeah. Athletic. She's athletic.
Yeah, she's athletic. Great.
But speaking of understanding soccer, when you go through Jalen's sessions and you've maximized your time, the final picture is this. So walk us through, and first off, why did you share this final picture based on the activities that you were showing us earlier?
Yeah, so this is an example of how what we're training translates to the game. Another thing is that I might show this to them before we train and say, these are the moments that we're working on, and help it them translate training to games.
And there you go.
And yeah. And so this is a time where we could talk about the game, but also for us, like, you need to, like we were saying, when you develop them, you need to give them the game and put them in the game as much as you can. Mm-hmm. And so for me, this is how that translates for us. This is the game for us. This, based on the way that we play, we unfortunately tend to turn the ball over in central areas. And so for us, what we're going to have to deal with is how do we solve that? And so for me, it's all connected with our game model and with the needs of our goalkeeper. So our goalkeeper profile here at Houston. So it's all about connecting them to the game.
And the why, like, this is the why. Yeah. Why we do that. You mean, Jalen, you're not going to sit here and show me somebody going chop sidestepping like that, going over and under a hurdle and then making the save? Like, that's not a highlight from the game. This is why. This is why you went. Look, there's a time and a place to do footwork. There's a time for everything.
I want any parents out there. Because
I used to love that, though. No, I'm going to give you an example. Remember when, like, goalkeepers would shuffle step, right? So they side shuffle, right? And so they're shuffle stepping. Like, you watch some goalkeeper coaches, they're shuffle stepping like 15 yards, right? And I'm like, when in God's name are you going to shuffle like 10 yards across the goal? I'm like, and I would look at my keepers. I'm like, just get there, please. Just turn, be an athlete, run, and your last prep step might be into a shuffle, one step. But, you know, it's like, it's show that here, show that in the game. And it's not there. So to be able to show why you did what you did, how it translated, this is a perfect. It's like, this is why we're doing this. And look how it worked.
Yeah, you know,
you guys
I
really
want
to.
I feel like Jalen's just pitching herself to be a mentor on the platform.
Yeah,
I feel like,
there you go.
She's
like, I'm not going to fill out that one sheet. I'm just going to come on the show instead.
Do you talk goalkeeping with goalkeepers, you know, with people in your space that get it? And so I'm just like, I could be here all day. You know, I love it. I'm playing it cool.
Honestly, Jalen, it humbles us. We're humbled and honored, honestly, you know, when we have that. And, you know, shout out to people like Tim Dittmer, head of goalkeeping for FA, you know, who just put a comment in, you know, Daniel Ball. I mean, these are unbelievable, you know, minds in the goalkeeping space. And, you know, the fact that they're watching this and
Dan, and I miss Dan.
Yeah. Yeah, we all miss Dan. Hope you're doing well, dude.
Hi, Tim.
but it means a lot to us because, again, you know, we don't have all the answers, and they'll all say they don't have the answers. We all have to learn from each other, and we're always consistently growing.
Well, I guarantee you that Dan and Tim are out buying a drone right now.
pretty sure that Tim with the FA budget has enough money.
Like nine drones.
Like a helicopter hanging over. Like 12 cameras off the bottom.
He's like Taylor Swift. We have the England FA golf stream that we take to matches to record people. Well, JC, this has been incredible. Honestly,
absolutely.
This has been really
Thank
cool.
You.
As we start kind of wrapping up, do you have any advice for coaches who are constantly running out of time or running short on their sessions?
Yeah, I think the most important thing is organization. And so having a plan really helps when I think navigating, number one, like unforeseen circumstances, or I think there's a lot of things that sometimes can be out of your control, but I think there's a lot that's in your control. And one of those is, what is the design of your session? What are the things that you're trying to get out? And I think the more that you can organize, the more that you can have a plan, I think the better. And I think the more that you can communicate with those around you, the better. And so helping you make these moments a little less unforeseen and helping navigate the best way for you to maximize what you're doing.
Sisk, anything you want to add?
No.
You're like, nope, that was quick and succinct. I'm going to go outside, set up my sandbags while I listen to the birds chirping. How much rain this weekend, Sisk?
What's this expected? I don't know. Flash floods, it says.
Oh, man.
So it's supposed to start tomorrow night, all day Saturday, and then part of Sunday.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, you're in the flats. I'm in the canyon. So it's...
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah,
I'm not complaining. I love my house. I'm just saying.
And you have that amazing deli by your house too.
Yes.
That's like one of the best sandwiches I've had in a long, long time.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Like seriously, like one of the best sandwiches.
I ran into Madison Hammond at the deli, and and I had just run out of the house, and I had this is a good story, really quick, because all the girls from Angel City like live around here because they train in Thousand Oaks, and I had a and Simone Charlie, and I had a Bay FC hat on when I got out of the car.
Oh god!
And Madison and I were like, "What?" And I'm like, "It was in the car." I was like, "I just grabbed it. It was a gift from Brandy," and I was just like, "I'm like, oh my god!" Of all the people to run into at the deli, two of our players, and I'm like a Bay FC hat on, and I was just like, "Oh my god." So that's cognizant now what I walk around that neighborhood in.
That's hilarious. Well, Jalen's going to hide all those A&M and Texas Longhorn hats that she's got, you know, lying around. Hey, big game for the men's basketball team tomorrow.
That's right. Yeah, go Cougs. Sweet 16. Yeah, exciting times.
Yeah, against Duke, that's gonna be fun. Well, obviously, Jalen, obviously you're a member of the union now, and we're very excited to have you. That's gonna be fun. I'm really, really hoping to learn a lot from you. If people want to reach out to you directly, what's your handle on there?
Yeah, so it's my first name, Jalen, and then C2. All one word.
All one word. And obviously, guys, if you want to reach out to us, it is at Goalkeeper Podcast on the Union, or contact at inside the 18 media. gmail.com if you have a guest suggestion or a topic suggestion. Shout out to the wonderful Jill Lloyden for suggesting Jalen Cunningham coming on the show. This has been absolutely, absolutely phenomenal. If you want to reach out to Saskia, obviously you can reach out to her at Saskia. And again, guys, if you want to keep watching the show, keep listening to the show, you got to subscribe to the Union 30-day free trial, uniongk.com for more information, or go to the Union GK community on Apple or Google Play stores. Again, guys, we're very, very excited for this new transition, this new era. It's going to allow us to do a lot more cool stuff. Like I said, hopefully some live events, hopefully bring some more exclusive content to the platform, and just keep it growing the game and keep paying it forward to everyone out there. So, with that all being said, that's all the time on Inside the 18, and we are out. Later, guys.
Bye.